Hello everyone, this is DJ Fighter. You are listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Last week, Pip and Cord were guests on my show. Pip, also Kayla Mahoney, junior graphic art major, who is our club president. Cord is our senior business major, who is graduating in May. He is our realm leader. They were guests on my show last week, and we talked about events, we talked about garb, we talked about fighting, we talked about just a whole variety of topics. So, this week I have Mowgli as a guest on my show. Hi, Mowgli.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good today, how are you?
Good.
So, why don't you introduce yourself?
Alright, my name is Jared Huey. I am a double major in public health and health science with a minor in psychology. Did I say I'm a junior? I'm a junior.
Yeah.
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. Don't forget that.
I won't. Try not to.
So, how's your week in terms of, like, practices, fighting? How's that been going?
It's been okay. We just, at Fool's Raid, we had an event 2 weeks ago, and you were at it, actually.
I was?
I unfortunately messed something up. I'm not sure what happened, but it's been an injury that's just been bothering me lately. So last few practices have been pretty light. I mean, I'm still running around and trying to run around, but I'm noticing that after practice, my leg would act up. So I'm going to try to take Friday off if I can. So I'm trying to take off practice tomorrow, but I'm hopefully that. My leg that would get better from me just taking a break for a little bit. But I'm going to still try to run practice and try to fight a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. I will make sure you stick to that because you cannot be injured. Cord is already injured with a back injury that's pretty bad. So he's been out for a couple weeks now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the joke is Cord is an old man. It's okay. He kind of owns up to it. But we love him. We love Cord.
So much.
Yes. Armored Penguins would not be in existence without Cord, really. So.
Exactly. There was, I'm pretty sure he talked about it, or maybe you talked about it, but there was a period of time where he was the only one with Giant, right? You know, trying to practice and trying to get something going. And with the influx of new people, literally this year our club has doubled in size, and it's a really great thing because it was a small group for quite a while, but now it's actually turning into something really, really great, and we're loving it all.
Yeah, and aren't we trying to get a lot more people next year?
Exactly. We're trying to rope some people in, try getting them to join Armored Penguins, and you know, even some penguins are exactly, join us, please do. We, you know, even students that are freshmen that are going on to sophomore, you know, or even sophomores going on to junior, we would love people to come out and try it out. And you know, there is a stigma around Bellegarth, and it's unfortunate. And people think of us as a nerdy LARP, and we are nerdy, and we're partially a LARP, but we look more at the fighting aspect of it all. And you know, it's more of a sport than anything else.
And if you don't think foam swords don't hurt, try getting hit by one, because they hurt. They do hurt a lot, and you can bruise.
And we're not trying to say that you're going to get hurt coming out. What we're saying is that it's a sport, and it's really, really fun. It's like any other sport, but at the same time, it's completely different from anything else that you'll do.
Yeah, it's fun. So you should come out. We hold practices every Friday from 2 to 5 p.m. and every Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. out on the library lawn on the corner of Magnolia and Palm.
Basically, yeah. And actually, the last few practices have been running pretty late. On last Friday, I think, our practice ran till almost 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was dark. It was dark outside, and we were using the lights from the library to fight.
I'm glad those lights are there now because we can actually fight out
exactly.
Late.
Yeah.
It also helps that the sun has been setting later than it has.
Yeah, last semester we had the problem with practice ending early because the light would be going away so quickly. But now we don't really have that problem. It's a great thing.
Yeah, it is. So, how did you get started with Armored Penguins?
How did I get started? It's a long story. So let's go back to my freshman year. I made some friends, and I was originally a nursing major here at Dominican, and I made some friends, and we would go around campus and go see what we have, because curious freshmen, we don't know what's around, so we wanted to go and discover. Well, with one of my buddies, we walked by the field, and there happened to be a practice going on for Armored Penguins, and I thought, hey, this looks pretty cool, let's go try it out, and I convinced my bud to come out and fight with us. And to go fight, not with us because I haven't joined them yet, but we went out and we got to try it out, and for 30 minutes we got to fight against each other, and we had a fun time. I started coming out for a little bit, for a little while there. My buddy unfortunately did not, and for a long period of time I had to stop because my school load got really overwhelming. So come second semester, my sophomore year, my tail starts bothering me, hey, you should actually come out and fight. And, I decide, I'll just go fight again. And I remember it was an indoor practice at Conlon. And ever since then, I kind of stuck with it. And as time went on, I just got more and more invested in this sport game. And it's now a really, really big part of what I do here at Dominican.
Yeah, good for you, because I wouldn't have met you otherwise, and you've helped me so much with fighting.
I've tried. So I've tried helping a lot
of people. I'm very, very thankful for that. And it's so fun to watch you fight. I don't know if I've told you this enough, but it's really fun to watch you fight, and I'm not just saying that as someone who is your girlfriend, but yeah, when I used to walk past on Sundays last year, I would watch practices as I'm walking past, but try not to look too interested because Kayla would have roped me in, and at that point, I was just way too shy to try something new.
Yeah.
Just a lot of not so good things happening that part of my life, but it was great to walk past and watch, and there was always just this one person who would be pretty, it was you, who would, you're a fast fighter, and you do all this, like, twirly stuff, and it's very fun to watch.
It's very majestic, let me just say that.
It is. You and Cord, especially when you and Cord are fighting, it's so interesting to watch that, because you guys are both very fast, kind of flowy, intricate, fancy fighters. So, yeah.
It's, and for the shy people that don't want to come out, you should definitely try coming out, because it's one of those things where you just don't know until you try. And with Bellegarth, it is really intimidating to walk up to practice and to be, try being fully invested in trying something new. But with this kind of thing, you just have to try it out. And as I said before, there is a stigma around Bellegarth, and it scares people away, or pushes people away more so. And it's unfortunate, and I'm trying to create this way of explaining it, relating it to sports, and it's kind of difficult, but just like any other sport, you have the let's take baseball for instance. I know you love the Giants, so let's take baseball for instance. You have the fans. They go to the games, they watch, they wear all the gear, they chant the chants that everybody knows, they, even in their free time, they're gonna go try playing the game.
Yeah.
And, they're fully invested in baseball, or in the Giants. Just like Bellegarth, we love to watch people that have been doing it for a long time. We love to fight, we love to actually do it ourselves. We like to wear the quote-unquote uniform. And that's the garb that we wear.
Yeah.
And you know, we have the chance that you know, we have the lore. We have the stories. And Belgarth is a Lord of the Rings-based game. And for me, I joined it more so looking at the fighting aspect of it. And, you know, other people are really... So we have other people that join it as well that are interested in the Renaissance kind of aspect of it as well. But for me, like some other people as well, we're more inclined to look at the fighting aspect and participate in the sport part of the game.
Not gonna lie, Kayla kind of reeled me in with the garb, but what really made me want to fight was kind of a spite reason. Titan was like, okay, well, she has to fight. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll fight. I'll show you what I can do. So, yeah, spite can be a really big motivator for people like me. And Pip sometimes. I love you, Pip.
You know, just anyone that's interested in it, just give it a shot.
Just go.
You know,
just go.
If you have people that, if you know people that are interested in it, why not try it out? There is no harm that can be done coming out and hitting people with sticks. It's a really, really great time out there.
Really, if anything, if it doesn't work out, you have a cool story, a cool funny story to tell your friends or your family later on in life. Like, oh, I tried this medieval fighting thing in college. It was fun, but didn't work out.
Yeah, and you know, as you said, there's great stories that come around with Belgarth.
So many.
Exactly, and with my parents personally, my dad wasn't really into the whole idea. I came back for the summertime last year, and he was like, what are you doing? Why are you hitting people with sticks? Why do you have a big chunk of foam sitting on our freezer? And, you know, after a while, by the end of summer, he was saying, hey, I got an idea how you can do this better so it's lighter. Or, hey, this is a way you can do it so it actually can work constructionally sound. And, you know, I love my dad for it. And, you know, there's a stigma, and it is a little weird. But like with anything else, it's going to, you know, it's if you're really passionate about it and if you really like it, you're going to come out and try it out.
Again. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Just as a reminder, you are listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Going back to the parents thing, my parents they actually wanted to come out to Phoenix Rising. They couldn't make it because my brother had a baseball game, but yeah, they keep asking me, oh, can we come watch you? Can we go to this event and watch you? And every time I come home, they ask me, do you need anything? Like, do you need gloves? Do you need wraps? Are you sure you have everything? They don't really understand what's going on, but they're supportive about it, which is really great. And I went home spring break, and I brought my swords with me because I wanted to practice. Didn't get much practicing done, but still, I had my swords. And the rest of my family came over, and they spent a good hour or two playing with the sword. And I was like, do you guys want to get hit? No, they didn't want to get hit. They were scared. They were scaredy cats. But it's okay. It's great to have that family support.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to the whole deal with your parents wanting to buy safety, your view. Safety is a big part of Belgarth, and I'm not sure if you talked about it in the show. But for those of you that are scared of coming out because you don't want to get hurt, you know, especially for people that hear up from majors such as dance, or music, you don't want to get hurt. And in Belgarth, we have, or specifically Armored Penguins, we want to make sure that our fighters are safe. So we highly encourage fighters to wear gloves, highly encourage fighters to wear knee pads. We want to make sure you're safe out there and you're not going to get hurt. And it's a really, really safe sport, and it's really fun. And we're trying to push for the safer fighting versus the winning. Versus winning or losing, we're trying to push for a more fun and safe environment.
Definitely. That's a good way to go. And as an additional note for safety gear, before we cut out for a short break, arm guards. You can wear arm pads because there are times where you will get hit in the elbow, and it will hit a nerve, and it will cause your elbow to go numb for a bit, which isn't always fun. So sometimes people will wear arm guards. So that's just an added little piece of safety equipment that you can use. Just a reminder, you're listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. We're cutting out for a short break here. Hello everyone, welcome back to the show. This is DJ Fighter. You are listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So, how long have you been fighting?
How long have I been fighting? Well, not if I'm including the time before I took my little break, I would say a little over a year and a half, but I don't really associate. I try looking at where I actually started fighting more, and I would say I'm a little under a year and a half right now.
Mm-hmm. Do we count January since we're not here most of January?
Well, I fought over spring, winter break. I fight over winter break. I actually got some people to fight with me over summer break last year. But, you know, even during the breaks, I try finding people to fight with. I got my cousin to start, and I'm not sure if she's going to stick with it, but she tried it, and she did it for a little while and got pretty good. And during winter break, I got to go catch up with Cord and fight with him, because I was really, really close with that, close in proximity to him.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
So if we are including January, I would be at this point a little over 5 months.
Yeah, you've been doing good.
Yeah. I feel okay. So the really weird thing was the week leading up to Fool's Raid, we didn't do any form of fighting at all. So it felt for a while that I haven't been fighting, and then we came back from Fool's Raid and everyone was just so tired that fighting was really difficult.
I think just the week before Fool's Raid, everyone was busy. I know Pip was working on Garb a lot. I personally was trying to get a lot of weapons fixed. I tried fixing all the weapons for the realm. And I know for me personally, I had to fix all the weapons that were broken because I needed people that didn't have weapons to fight. And I needed them to have something so that they can participate as well. And, you know, the week before, everyone was busy. Everyone was trying to get homework done because it is a weekend away from school. So, and we're in college, so people have homework to do. And we tried taking care of that beforehand. I know I personally have 2 essays, and I got one done, and I had to get the other done on Sunday when I got back. And, there was a lot going on the week before. And the week after, it's normal after events for people to be broken or tired because we're not really sitting around. We're standing up, walking around all day, talking to people. And even at events, even if you're not going to be fighting, you do a lot more than you think you do. compared to what you're doing at school.
Yeah, socializing is a bit taxing for some people.
It is.
I mean, even for normal people.
It is, and, you know, having to walk around to go see people. I know for me personally, the bathroom was all the way across camp, so if we need to, like, wash anything, we had to walk all the way across camp to go get it, to get that done.
Yeah, and if you happened to be on a different part of camp, you had to walk through Sith camp to get to the bathroom.
They're a great group of people.
Yes, yes. The Sith are a great group of people. They can just be a little intimidating sometimes.
The Sith, if for those that don't know, the Sith is a unit, and a lot of them are based in SoCal. So a lot of them are from LA. And they're a rowdy group of guys and girls, and they're really, really, really great group of people. And let's just say they're very expressive. They're all going.
Yeah. They're also inspired by Star Wars, hence the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just for clarification, but yeah, there are a bunch of good fighters too.
Yeah, there are a bunch of great fighters everywhere.
And
it's when we go to events, it's really just great to meet those people and get to actually communicate with them and learn, because at Fool's Raid or Phoenix Rising, you get to meet a lot of fighters and you get to meet and talk to them and learn from them. And when you go to bigger events like Battle for the Ring, you get to meet a lot of people. You know, even outside of California or the West Coast, you get to meet people from more back east. And it's a great time. You get to meet people, you get to talk to people, you get to meet a lot of different people. And we have, there's a lot of different people in this game.
I think the most kind of out there person I've met at Fool's Raid would either be Exile or Bacchus.
Exile and Bacchus, they're great.
They're great.
Well, Exile's not far away. Exile's really close. He's just, he's taking care, what we like to say, taking care of life. So people that can't fight or can't make it out to practices, we just say that they're taking care of life. Because a lot of the community members that we have fighting, you know, they have jobs, we're adults, but they're adulting. they actually have jobs and they're trying to take care of what they have to do outside of fighting. And, you know, that's a bigger priority over Bellegarde. And, you know, when we get to see them, it's a great time. And when we don't, most of the time we understand, because they have things that are more important.
Yeah.
They need to take care of.
Definitely. Bacchus and Exile are both really cool people. Fun fact about Bacchus, he's really into theatrical music, like musicals. And as he was building, because he also sells weapons like arrows, modular arrows. Modular arrows are arrows that you can take off the arrowhead so that you can save the shaft. Because what happens oftentimes is an arrow will break. And sometimes you want to be able to save the shaft part of it, because that's not the part that breaks. But yeah, they're just arrowheads that can screw off the arrow shaft. That sounds a little weird. Bacchus was selling weapons like spears and modular arrows, and he was making them, and the whole time he was singing to the Wicked soundtrack, because that was what he was currently obsessed with. And looking at Bacchus first glance, you don't really think he's someone who would be into musicals and all that stuff, but he was, and it was really great to see that. It was fun listening to him sing to Wicked.
We have a lot of, when we look at people in general in this that are in this game, there are a lot of people that are into, for Penguin specifically, we have a lot of people that have experience either in theater or doing tech for theater or associated somehow into theater or music. So, you know, we catch, sometimes we have us all kind of singing along to some random song that we have. And that is actually, for me at least, noticing, I noticed that it's pretty common among all of Bellegrim, all the Bell community. There's a lot of people that are into the theatricals and into musicals. And there are a lot of stage people. A lot of stage people. And I think sometimes that's what draws people in to come try things out.
It's fun. It makes social life at events very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Back to your modular aerial parts of it. That's actually really, yeah, really new stuff. And I mean, yeah. you hit it spot on.
Oh, good, because I thought I totally got it completely.
No. And what a modular arrow, if you can imagine an arrow, the arrowhead, you take off the arrowhead, you can unscrew it. With the new tech that we have, you can unscrew it. And with these modular arrows, you can just screw the foam padded tip on so that we can use it in Velgarth legal or DAG legal, Amcard legal games. And with this new technology, it makes it easier, because what will end up happening before is that people would snap the arrows. Oh no, it's glued into the arrowhead. The big foam arrowhead is directly glued onto the shaft for the actual arrow, you know, for the actual arrow. And if it snaps, it's kind of okay, this arrow's more or less done.
Yeah.
Or you can try salvaging it if you really, really want to. But with this new technology, the new tech that we're trying to get out, is you can just screw on the arrowhead and then don't have to really worry about it, because if it snaps, you unscrew it. You take you take some of the tape off that's taped onto the shaft, unscrew it, pull it off, and then you put a new arrow in. You have a new DAG, Bell, Amcard legal, or any game, a cross game legal arrow back and ready to go fighting.
Yeah, plus it saves money.
It saves
because I heard arrows can get pretty expensive.
Well, you can take, if you take an arrow, the shaft, and just, it's about $8 maybe. It depends. But it can get expensive, and this game can get expensive. But for me, I like to go and try figuring out my own way of doing things and try building things so that they pass and they're safe. But also at the same time, I can be able to make multiples of them so that I'm not wasting too much money always having to buy something brand new.
Yeah, exactly. For the audience out there, Mowgli is our weapons. He's very good at making weapons. I'm just gonna say that. So yeah, he's kind of been in charge, or stuck with the responsibility of making a armored penguin's weapons and repairing weapons when they need to be repaired.
Yeah, I would say stuck, but I chose to do that. I chose to step up and repair all the weapons, and it's, for me, it's wrapping my head around new ways to get it to work. More efficient ways and cost-effective ways of making weapons pass safely, and you know, being able to have a longevity, oh my, and life for the weapons. And I try, because we're all college students. Typically, we don't really have always the funds to buy the latest and greatest gear. So, with someone or people, and I'm trying to teach people how to do it as well, with people knowing how to build weapons and repair weapons, it makes it a lot easier for people to stay in the game. And it's less discouraging if you are, you know, to build your weapon, because when you are being able to build your weapons, like your personal weapon, you're trying to repair something that you own and you've made. And, you know, the cost can scare people. It's when you go online and try buying fully done made weapons, it's expensive. And you know, I will go out there and splurge and buy a nice weapon when I can, but if for the most part I try repairing them so that I can save my money, and I can also know that it will pass because I've done it myself.
Yeah, exactly. I had a thought, and it kind of just flew out of my head. In terms of fighting, do you have any goals that you're working up towards? Anything?
I am just trying to... For me, I am trying to figure out ways to make fighting, my fighting, and other people's fighting safer. And when I try to teach people the safety the safety about the safety of fighting, being able to fight fairly, so that, you know, we get the clean fighters out there. And when we have people constantly learning how to fight safely, it's nice, because then you don't have to worry about getting hurt out there. And those people that are fighting safe can be more confident about it, because they're not getting trash talked from other people that talking down on them because they are fighting unsafely for any other reason. And my main goal, as I said, of teaching is to teach people how to fight safely and improve that way, because you can improve and learn all the new latest and greatest ways of killing someone through fighting in the fighting, or you can even get better in your basics and know how to throw them safer and then eventually progress, but also having that's a little thought in the back of your mind saying, hey, I need to be able to do this safely. And for me, if I want to improve my fighting, I want to constantly make my fighting safer, because I know there's different things I can try, different things I can do, but I want to be able to do it safely. So when I fight, I typically only fight at maybe 50%. And the most I've ever put into my fighting has been 70. And it's just one of those things where I don't want to go over that threshold, because I know it can get dangerous, because there's more technicality being put in, or even a little more power being put in, and or aggression. And I want to try keeping that as safe as possible, because I don't want to hurt anybody, and, you know, because I care. Some people don't necessarily care, but for me, I'm trying to make it so that it's safer. I want to fight safely. I want to encourage people to fight safely, and through my teaching, I hope I am able to do that.
That's a pretty good goal. I mean, safety is important. Just a reminder, you are listening to Armored Penguins with DJ Fighter on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. We are going to cut out for a short break here, so we'll be back shortly. Everyone, welcome back to Honor Penguins. I'm DJ Fighter. You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So I have Mowgli on the show as a guest, and we've been talking about, you know, events. We've been talking about fighting, goals for fighting. We've been talking about Armored Penguins. So, Mowgli, to start off, do you have any advice for newer fighters, other than, you know, safety, fighting safely?
I try look I want people to fight safely. I want people to be encouraged to come out. And it's, well, are you talking about newer fighters, like fighters that haven't tried it out yet, or fighters that are just starting?
Yeah, fighters who haven't tried it out yet.
Yeah, I can cover the broad spectrum, but for people that haven't tried it out, I've been trying to preach this is like as much as I can, but you know, come out and give it a try and put your, you know, just immerse yourself in all that bell is. Try it out, because it's up to you to decide whether you want to look at it as a fighting, as more of a fighting game, or as more of a the fighting game, or we're looking at more as the role playing part of it. Not really role playing, but the story. Yeah, I was talking about it earlier a little bit, just trying to come up with the word. I'm not sure what I can't remember exactly my wording. But there's the fighting, and then you have the people that are more into the story of it all. And as someone that's going to be coming out to try it out, as I said, give it a shot. And what's the worst that can come out of it? The worst that can happen is that you have a great story to tell people. And it's, you know, we're not going to throw you straight onto the field to get hurt. We're going to try catering to you, try taking care of you. We want to take care of our new people, so we teach them off to the side, and then we kind of check in on them to see, okay, what do you want to do now? Do you want to try it out? Do you want to maybe come back another day? Or do you, you know, or we just keep doing the same thing the same sparring that you're doing off to the side now. And from that point on, you really get to see whether people are actually going to come back out again, or they're going to, you know, try it on and be like, okay, I know what it is now. And I think that, yeah, it's one of those things where you just got to try it and give it a shot. For people that do end up staying and keep going at it, the best thing to do is don't get discouraged. I've told this to a couple new people already that are in fighting, and thankfully they stayed around. You're going to lose very much when you're new. You're going to die in the game very much. And you just can't, you know, you just got to remember that the way for in this game, the way you get better is by losing, because you get to see what you did wrong and you improve on your mistakes. And you don't really lose anything if you lose. If you lose, okay, you lose once. But remember, these fights only go for maybe 30 seconds, you know. If you're doing spars, it can only go for 30 seconds. And if you're doing a field battle, sometimes they go on for like maybe a minute and a half. You're not going to fight and then lose and not fight for the rest of the day. You're going to be able to go back in and try it again. And you know, you might be able to quickly learn from your mistake and go back out and improve upon it and do really well. You just got to remember that like anything else that you're new with, you're going to lose. You're not going to be doing it as proficient as anyone else that has been doing it in the sport, and you know, that's been doing this fighting for a very long time. And just, you're going to die. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Keep your mind to it. And you know, eventually you can have, for some people, the mindset of try taking something, try getting at least one hit in before you die. That mindset sometimes works, you know. If you're going to die, and you know you're going to die, try taking something with you. Because then you get the accomplishment of taking something with you, from taking a limb or even a kill with you when you do end up dying in the game. And, you know, you just, as I've said, you'll die, maybe 10 seconds later, come back and fight again.
Yeah. I think the great thing about it is that sometimes there's not even enough time to really dwell too much on the negative. Sometimes you just gotta pick yourself up by the bootstraps and keep on fighting. And oftentimes that will lead to a much more desirable result. I mean, you get better as you warm up. And sometimes there are just days where it's not happening. And that's okay too.
It just happens, you know, and...
You can't be good all the time.
No, exactly. And we, Cord knows, Pip knows, everyone, you know, a lot of people that have been doing it for a little while know that there's going to be off days. There's going to be good days, there's going to be off days, there's going to be days. But, you know, what draws us back is our, like, investment. Like, we're really invested in the game. And we love it a lot. And, you know, there's no reason really just to completely quit because we're not doing well. It's, you know, you just go back out another day and try it again. And it's, as you know, as you said, you can either, if you're having a bad day, try just kind of shake it off and give it a shot. And, you know, if you don't have a good day, it's not bad on you. It's just, it happens. It's natural. We're humans. Well, outside of the game, we're humans. And we're trying, we want to make, you know, we can't do everything perfect all the time, as you've said.
Yeah, exactly. Just like in any other sport, you can't be good all the time, every day. There will be days where you will not do good, and those are days that you can learn from. So, those are days I kind of appreciate, and I get to look back on the days that I feel like I haven't been doing very well, and I reflect on why did I feel I wasn't doing well, and it might just be something of, I didn't warm up enough.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, or we're, you know, contributing, we have contributing stressors from school, and a lot of us are, you know, as I've said, are college students, because we're a college-based realm. We have things that are going on outside of Bell, and as the leaders understand that, you know, we do, everyone does have something going on outside of fighting, and we just, you know, if anything, we're going to be there to help if we can. And, you know, if you can't fight 1 week, it's okay. Just come out another week. It's going to happen. And, you know, just try it again.
Yeah.
Just keep trying.
Exactly. Just keep trying. On a much lighter note, do you have any fun or interesting stories from fighting that you want to tell?
Fun or interesting fighting stories?
Like, I have one where we were doing 2v2s, and I was partnered up with Kelt, and I just slipped on the grass and ate just totally face first into the ground, and it was immediately killed after that.
Well, I have one really, really memorable moment, and I won't ever forget it. I was fighting against this, we have a fighter that's really close by, and it was in Novato. And his name's Juggernaut. We call him Juggy. And I'm sure everyone at Penguins remembers this, because this is one of those instances where you say, don't ever be like this guy. That was that guy for that day.
You will never live that down.
I will never live that down. It was an interesting day. Well, I was fighting against Juggy, and he's a much bigger guy than me. He's much taller than 6 foot. I'm only 5'7", and he's much taller than me and just bulkier. And he pushed me over, and I tried rolling back out of it. And in that transition to trying to roll back, my legs were spread open in the air, and Juggy swings his weapon straight down between my legs, and you can, you know, it happens, and I'm a guy, so it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, it happens, and I'm sorry to anyone who I've accidentally junk shotted. I don't mean it, you know.
It happens, and, you know, it's really the responsibility of us to wear protective gear, but, you know, some of us just don't like it. But what can, you know, for the people that do, good on you.
For
the people that don't, well, you're taking a risk.
I mean, Bogan did point out that Cubs won't help you against J-hooks.
No, they won't help. If anything, it's sometimes the cup will just dig into your pelvis and it'll hurt. But it protects you. And
yeah,
it's safety gear. So if you want to wear it, you should wear it.
It would probably help you from something going directly, but not from something that's coming in from behind.
Exactly. And yeah, that's what happens a lot.
Oh, any other interesting stories?
That was, you know, that's that I remember that story very vividly. Very vividly. I mean, there's, you know, the first event was last, for me at least last year, was, let's see, well, it's actually Phoenix Rising, and Phoenix Rising last year was not a camping event. Phoenix Rising was a day event in San Ramon? I'm not exactly sure. I think San Ramon. And it was just my first event. I just kind of remember that day. Not in detail, but I just remember coming out fighting for the first time at an event. And feeling a little bit uncomfortable, but at the same time, just thinking, hey, let's just give it a shot. And mm-hmm. I did give it a shot, and here I am still sticking with it. I was actually trying to help out as much as I can with security and weapons check at Fool's Raid and Phoenix Rising. I was trying to help out a lot with, trying to help out with staff stuff whenever I can.
Yeah. An interesting story for the audience. At Phoenix Rising, right before actually, Mowgli is also known as the Fisherman. It's part of his lore. So for his kit, which is a kit, is pretty much not really an outfit, but kind of, it includes the outfit that you're wearing, but it also includes all the various accessories or something that a fighter has. It's something that a fighter can easily be identified as.
Your persona.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Your persona.
Your physical representation of your persona as a Belagarth person. So he has this stuffed fish that I made for him has LED lights in them. So it lights up. And it's on the end of this bamboo pole. So it looks like a fishing pole with a dead fish attached to it.
And it glows in the dark. And it's what's really helpful is that it's basically a lantern for me. And people can easily identify who was coming up to the tent or coming up to the campfire, because there's not no one else that had a light like that.
We had many happy people follow Mowgli around during the event while he was doing security, because the fish was so bright and he had a fishing bell attached also to the end of the pole. So it jingled.
Yeah.
Every time he walked, jingled and it lit up. And there was this one fighter, actually, who every time Mowgli came around to the main fire, he would just go, "Mowgli, Mowgli," and bat the fish like a cat.
Yeah, I think his name is Orin?
Yeah, I think it's Orin.
Yeah, Orin. That's right. You actually won the noob tournament, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have a fighter. His name's Tarkus. He made it very far in the noob tournament. He was actually in the last three.
Yeah, last three.
Yeah, he was in the last three, and I was heralding that fight, too.
Red Robin round.
Yeah, and that Red Robin round. That Round Robin.
Round Robin.
Round Robin.
I kept calling it Red Robin.
It's okay. But it was between three fighters. We had a fighter named Ramen, we had Tarkus, and then we had Orin. And Tarkus was able to beat a Ramen. He was able to beat him. Unfortunately, though, Tarkus lost to Orin. And, you know, I'll try working with him. Tarkus is one of the people I like to work with as much as possible and teach him. And then, yeah, it's really, really great. I remember meeting Orin for the first time, actually. I think I met him at Battle.
Battle?
Yeah, I met him at Battle for the Ring. He was arching, and he did a little sword and board here and there. But
he's,
I remember
a
him
good
arching.
Good archer.
He's pretty good. And, you know, he's one of those noobs that are coming up. Yeah. New people, new fighter that's coming up in the ranks and learning how to, you know, becoming a really, really big presence on the field.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Armored Penguins with DJ Fighter on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. We'll be taking a short break here, so we'll be back shortly. Don't stop me, don't stop me, don't stop me. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Mowgli had to step out for a bit, but I will continue on with the show, talking about kits. So, as mentioned previously, kits are kind of this physical representation of your persona. Really, kind of your garb, anything attached to your garb, like Mowgli's fishing pole, belt flags, war braids, anything. Anything like that. And a lot of inspiration for kits can come from realm colors or unit colors, or just if you decide to be a monster race in Belagarth, your kit can be inspired by that. You can find all kinds of inspiration on Pinterest as well. So yeah. Hey Mowgli.
Hi.
Welcome back.
I'm back.
So, do you want to explain to the audience what you are in Belagarth?
I am the shortest hat troll in known existence. And what a hat troll is a troll. And I'm pretty sure you explained this, I think, last week? I think last Thursday you're talking about. I'm not sure, but I remember. I thought I remembered something. But as a hat troll, I have my brain and my heart on top of my head. And to protect myself, my heart and my brain from getting hurt, I am wearing a hat. And the hat is to identify hat troll. We're supposed to paint up in purple. We're supposed to be purple, but I have skin issues and my skin doesn't really like the dye. And we're supposed to wear a hat of some sort, you know. Giant wears a nice top hat made of leather.
Wait,
I think.
Isn't he half giant though?
I'm not sure. I think so.
According to Cord, giant is half hat troll, half giant.
Oh, well, yeah. Then you know, yeah, his name's Giant, so I wouldn't doubt it. We also have, let's see, as a hat troll, we're supposed to have a trench coat as well, and I'm trying to get that sorted out. Nudge Pip. hopefully she took my measurements a little while ago, so hopefully I can get that done.
I'm excited to see that.
I know, and I have a lot of embroidering that needs to be done, a lot of patches to get done for that.
Well, I will help you with that.
That sounds great.
Do you want to talk about any more hat troll lore?
Hat troll lore. Well, I can talk about some basics. I mean, hat trolls are typically supposed to be 5'10" and taller because we're supposed to be tall. Well, I'm only 5'7", and I am, as of right now, the shortest hat troll. And it's...
Isn't that explained in your personal lore, too?
It is explained in my personal lore, so I can talk about my lore. Dwelling deep into my past as a fighter. Mowgli is a hat troll that was more or less deserted by his parents. And his parents my parents left me somewhere. And hat trolls are known to fall asleep and just stop. Just stop what they're doing and
kind
sit there.
Kind of like hibernation?
More like, yeah, almost hibernation. We just sit there. And what ends up happening is that we have the goblins that come around, and sometimes they either build their city around us, or they build a city on top of us. Like, they put buildings and they build it, they build a structure against us. And Hatchwolves are known to space out or sleep or hibernate for a long period of time. So a few things can happen. The Goblin City typically stays there, goes into corruption and leaves. Or the Hatchwolf wakes up while the city's on top of this Hatchwolf and destroys everything.
Oh.
The building that might have been built on top of the Hatchwolf just drops. And Hatchwolves, you know, we're nice monsters.
We're nice monsters,
you know.
More or less.
Yeah. So, back to my lore, that's essentially what happened, is that I just fell asleep, and, you know, stuff happened.
You got squished under a rock.
I got squished under a rock. And there's going to be different ways. Cord is technically my adopted dad, and he'll explain it one way, and I'll explain it my way of knowing it. But my way of knowing it is that Cord was walking around doing his little walks as a goblin, whatever goblins do. And
Whatever Cord does.
Cord's a goblin, but Cord is Cord.
That's just to say Cord is a little bit of an anomaly for goblins.
Exactly. And he saw something moving under this rock. He saw his little arms. You can imagine someone laying on their stomach. Imagine a rock on top of their torso and their arms off to the side. That's kind of what I looked like.
Kind of a little bit like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Exactly. And actually, yeah. Basically like that. And he saw me and he moved the rock and he's like, wait, that's a Hatchwolf. And he put a hat on top of gave me a hat to protect my head. And he took me in as a foster parent. And, you know, the fisherman story goes on. He raises me, teaches me his ways. And I just never grow. I stay short because I was squished under this rock for such a long period of time that I just never grew. So I stayed short. And, you know, eating the goblin diet, living the goblin way did not help with anything as well, because goblins are short, and he kept me short. Well, as time went on, he tried looking for, you know, he would go off on his own quests, doing his own little things, and he would leave me at home for long periods of time. And I would learn how to survive on my own. So that's how I acquired the fishing. I learned how to cook, I learned how to fish. While he was away, and you remember him coming, he came back and saw me, and I discovered how to fish on my own. And the magic fish story goes in a very interesting way. Cord comes home, looks for me, I'm nowhere to be found at home. He looks in my normal fishing spot, and he sees me, more or less. He sees me sitting there, and I'm just sitting still. And he walks over, and he asks, what's wrong? And I'm sitting here on the ground holding this fish, and the fish is glowing. And then I'm staring at it, dumbfounded. And he stares at it. And then all of a sudden, he eats my fish. This beautiful, glowing fish. And he just eats it. And then I start getting sad, and I cry. I cry a lot. And then what he did with his voodoo magic, his shaman magic, goblin shaman magic, is he put a demon, more or less, into this fish.
To reanimate the fish,
yeah. Exactly. And like his map, I got a soul, someone's poor soul, into my fish. And it happened to be the prince of some sort of gluttony.
Prince of gluttony, yeah.
And his name is George. And it's spelled J-E-O-R-J-P-E. And it sometimes changes. Sometimes it's a K instead of a P. And we
it's
see
weird.
We see the P and the K as silent. So it doesn't really matter. We can change it around. And, you know.
Yeah.
We can change it around whenever I feel like it because it's mine. But.
Yeah. The way lore stories, personal lore stories come about is pretty weird. I mean, most of the people in Army Penguins kind of go to Cord to talk about lore because he's very good at making lore up. And it just happens randomly sometimes. They tend to be just a mishmash of different ideas from various other people. Just last night, actually, we talked about what I could possibly be because we have a very tall fighter named Entian who will look into being an Ent as his kind of race in Belagarth. And Mowgli was just, you should be a mini Ent. And
for those of you who don't know what an Ent is, it's the tree people.
They're big tree people.
From Lord of the Rings, actually.
But I'm a very, very short person, not even 5 foot, so I can't be an Ent, hence mini Ent. But I wanted to be a Fae. And Cord kind of mashed this together by just saying, well, you came from a goblin that died and then was smushed by an Ent for many centuries. And because that goblin was smushed for so many centuries, all the magics of the goblin got smushed together and then I popped out. So technically that makes me half snotling, half fae, kinda.
Partially Ent.
Partially Ent, I guess, since the Ent had something to do with it.
There were a lot of stories last night that we were trying to figure out.
Yeah, it was fun figuring that out. I mean, it's kind of getting the creative processes flowing and trying to just figure out my kit, because that's something I really want to get done.
Mm-hmm. And this is, for everyone that's in this, involves a lot of imagination, and what you get to discover is that a lot of us have a very interesting imagination.
Very vivid.
Very vivid imagination, and you know, it's not a bad thing. And great people. I like to say it a lot, but we have a lot of great people in this. A lot of very creative people.
Yeah, definitely.
Reasons why they're part of this, because they want to be able to create these kind of things.
Of course, of course. Yeah. Any last remarks you want to make before we end the show?
Well, people, don't be afraid to come out. It's a really great time out there. For those of you that are interested or know people that are interested, you should definitely try coming out. Friday practices are pretty toned down. They're not the big typically not the big practices that we have. So if you are afraid to come out because you don't want a lot of people there, you should definitely try coming out on Fridays.
Yeah.
And then you get some more one-on-one work with the people that have been doing it for a while. Now, if you want to come around and watch, we have our Sundays practices, and typically we get people from around the area, a lot more community members coming out to fight with us.
Yeah, so, definitely. And Sundays are usually days where after practice we will go out and eat.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, as Penguins is composed of a lot of people, and we create a community within the community of fighters, and it's people that you can fall back onto. And it's really great, because then you have this support group of people, and it's, for me personally, it's helped out a lot, a tremendous amount. But for others, it's helped, you know, I've seen it help out a lot. And you know, the only thing I can say is just give it a shot. And there's nothing wrong that can come from trying things out.
Yeah, of course. Just a reminder that Armored Penguins holds practices every Fridays from 2 to 5 p.m. and every Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. out on the library lawn on the corner of Magnolia and Palm. I am DJ Fighter. You were listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.